in Leviticus 23. Start reading on verse 1. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. In the 14th day of the first month, at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We want to thank you for this time together around the Word of God. Thank you for letting us be here at the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for letting us fellowship with the people of God. Now I pray that you'd take me and use me as your vessel tonight. God, I pray you'd let me be a blessing. And Lord, I pray if it be one here that knows not your Son, God, this would be the eternal night. God, the eternal call that they'd cry unto you for salvation. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Now, you'll notice in the Word of God that the Lord had told Moses to keep a couple of feasts. He reminded him the first feast that was to be kept, and he said it in verse 5, and it had to do with the Lord's Passover. Now turn, if you would, this evening over in the book of Exodus chapter number 1. And I'd like to take a couple of messages, not both tonight, but I just want to deal with the first feast tonight on the Lord's Passover. And I want us to start looking in Exodus chapter number 1. And you'll notice in verse 1, now these are the names of the children of Israel. He gives those names. Verse 6, And Joseph died, and all his brethren and all that generation. They knew God. They worshiped God by an altar. They worshiped God by sacrifices. Verse 7, And the children of Israel were fruitful, and they increased abundantly, and they multiplied. They waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Now, in other words, not only did he know anything about Joseph, he didn't know nothing about the God of Joseph. His name was Pharaoh. And the Bible said this in verse 11, that Pharaoh, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. Verse 12. But the more that the people of God were afflicted, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Now, God rose up a leader called Moses to lead his people out of the bondage of Pharaoh. But I want to remind you something tonight in this sermon that we were all like the children of Israel. We were under heavy bondage, the bondage of sin. When our forefathers, Adam and Eve, sinned in the garden, it was handed down to our generation through that bloodline of a sin nature. You don't have to teach your children to lie. You don't have to teach them to act ugly. You've got to teach them to behave. Because we have that old sin nature. It was something said about it this morning, as Paul said, the things I want to do, I just can't find myself doing them a lot. The things I don't like to do, that's what I find myself doing. He fought that old nature. Therefore, we were all like the children of Israel. We were heavy in bondage under the reproach and the approach of the devil. The devil still holds people in bondage. He's an awful taskmaster. He makes things hard. Matter of fact, he'll show people the pretty things, but he won't show them the end of the story. And so God, just like our good God is, when a people begin to cry, He's always brought forth a leader. I wish America would start a cry again, that God would raise up a Moses for America. There is no voice for God in America as a whole anymore. This is one of the few presidencies that has never had a mouthpiece that has been spoken from God to the White House. There's none in America. I wish God's people would cry again that God would raise up a Moses to the White House. And so the people of God begin to cry. God rose up Moses and He said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to walk up to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And he did. And Pharaoh laughed at him. And God said, well, I tell you what, I've got something for your laughter. And it picks up in Exodus 7. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send some plagues to get your attention. And boy, just like our God, He knows how to get our attention. Amen. Now the people was crying. He'd raised up Moses. And Moses said, let my people go. He said, no, I'm going to keep them. Well, in Exodus 7, the first plague, God turned the water in Egypt to blood. Where Pharaoh would come to the river to bathe there that morning, He had instructed Moses to take that rod, and therefore the waters turned to blood. That was the first plague that God sent to Pharaoh to show him that he meant business about his people. I'm glad we serve a God tonight that means business about his people. Then in Exodus 8, verse 1, the blood, turning water to blood, done nothing really to Pharaoh, so he turned everything in the land to frogs. Frogs was every place. You can read this for yourself in chapter 8 and verse 1. And then the third plague in verse 16 was lice. God smote the land with lice. Everything was covered with lice. And Pharaoh kept the people. Then in verse 28 of chapter 8, the fourth, he sent flies. And that didn't get him to turn the people loose. And then in chapter 9, in verse 1, the fifth plague, all the livestock in Egypt died. You'd think Pharaoh would start to go to getting the message. Matter of fact, you'd start thinking that America would get her message today. And then you'll find in chapter 9, verse 8, that God said, I tell you what, He said, I'm going to smite everything with boils in the land of Egypt. He said that it'd be upon man and upon beast. Still didn't get Pharaoh's agreement. Then you'll notice in Exodus 9 and verse number 17, He was going to smite the place with hail that rained out of heaven. Then the eighth plague He sent was in chapter 10. It was locust. And then you'll notice in verse 21, that didn't get the hand of Pharaoh in agreement with God. So you'll notice in verse 21 that He smote the land with darkness. He said darkness which may be felt. In other words, it got so dark it got thick. You'd think surely that it got Pharaoh. Well, looks like America would realize how dark it's got. Amen. Then He said, I tell you what, I've give you 9 chances. He said, but this tent's fixing to get your attention. This is what He said now, preaching on this feast that they were instructed to keep, leading you up to what it's about. It was the feast of the Passover. And He said in Exodus chapter number 11, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, I'll bring yet another plague upon Pharaoh. This is what He said. He said,
And he'll let you go hence. When he shall let you go, you shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. He said, now, speak in the ears of the people, let every man borrow of his neighbor, every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and gold. Lord gave the people favor in the sight of Egypt. And moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Moses said, thus saith the Lord in verse 4 of Exodus 11. He said, about midnight will I go out of the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservants that's behind the meal. He said, from the top to the bottom, the firstborn is going to die. There shall be a great cry, in verse 6, throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Now, chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Verse 3, speak to all the congregation, want every one of them to hear it. Because in the 10th day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Verse 5, a male of the first year, you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up to the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 11, and thus shall ye eat with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses whereof you are. And I like this, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I want to pull a few thoughts out of verse 13 tonight, and this is what I want to preach on. I'm glad I'm saved by the blood. I'm glad I'm saved by the blood. Now, you'll notice in verse number 13, there he said this, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I want to say, first of all, there's the prominence of the blood. He said, when I see the blood, not when I see the water, not when I see your money, not when I see your Bible, but when I see the blood, I want to say that the blood is prominent in Scripture. You know, now we as old-fashioned fundamental Baptists, they tell us, Brother Jake, that we have a slaughterhouse religion. No, we don't. We're saved by the blood of the darling Lamb of God. It's still the blood tonight. There's the prominence of the blood. Matter of fact, they have directed some new song books to take out the blood because it offends people. Said it's a bloody gospel. Honey, there's not many roads to heaven. There's one way to heaven, and that's the blood of the darling Son of God that hung on an old rugged cross and died and shed His blood for me and you. There's the prominence of the blood. I want to say it's prominent in Scripture. All through this Bible, all the way through Cain and Abel, there we'll find out that it's prominent in Scripture. In Hebrews 9 and verse number 22, Hebrews 9 and 22, you'll notice this. The Bible said almost all things are by the law purged or purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, You listen to me, young people, mark it in your Bible. Don't you never let a liberal preacher tell you anything else. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That word remission means deliverance. I'm glad we are delivered by the blood. Now, the prominence of the blood. Hang with me, church. There's prominent in Scripture. Number two, it's prominent in salvation. In 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 7. If you take one verse out of the Bible, and many have, they built doctrines and they built religions upon one verses. But honey, you better take what the whole Bible says. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I was raised in a church, be baptized and wash away your sin. That's heresy. You don't pull one verse out of a text and make a denomination out of it. You take the whole counsel of God. Therefore, watch what he says now. It's the prominence of the blood. Prominence in Scripture. But it's prominent in salvation. 1 John 1 and 7. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us. I like this, honey. From all sin. All sin you'd ever do, he said, it's purged by the blood. If water could wash away my sins, how many times I got to be baptized to wash it off? If I've got to work my way in, like the 7-day disadvantages have to say, how many works have I got to do to be enough? I'll take the blood tonight. And honey, blood is the grace of God. And certainly there's the prominence of the blood. He said, when I see the blood, not your church membership. Church membership has nothing to do with you going to heaven. The prominence of the blood is prominent in Scripture. It's prominent in salvation. Honey, if you've been washed in the blood, you're glory bound with the hammer down. Hallelujah. Prominent in Scripture, prominent in salvation. I can tell you this, it's prominent over the Satan. Revelation 12 and verse number 11, I tell you how powerful the blood is, how prominent it is. Here we get a little glimpse. Now the Lord's writing and he says this. I heard, let's get verse 9, Revelation 12 verse 9. Revelation 12 verse number 9 is prominent over Satan. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Boy, he's doing a good job, isn't he? He was cast out in the earth and his angels were cast out with him. I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, he accused you. Why, you're crazy to go to some kind of service like that. You're not saved. Why'd you stand up and testify? You're not even saved. Why'd you stand up and testify? What's that you done last week? He's the accuser. He's cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I'll tell you what he does. He accuses you of your past. But honey, if it's under the blood, thank God, it's gone. Hallelujah. Then he says this, they overcame him. Not by their good works. Not by their prophet sharing. Not by learning their Bible. Not by their church membership. Not by water baptism. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. Thank God we can overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Next time Satan gets on you, give him the word of your testimony. I remember where the Lord saved me, right there. Get behind me, Satan, because I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I go to hell in my sins, I'll go by the blood. Honey, let me tell you, no blood-washed child of God's going to hell tonight. Thank God for the prominence of the blood. Number two, the protection by the blood. This is what he said in that one verse. It's amazing what this one verse teaches us tonight. Over in Exodus 12 and verse number 13. Exodus 12 and verse number 13. This is simply what he says. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is the method of the deliverance involved. It was a sacrifice of innocent life. That little lamb had done nothing. but it protected every house that the blood was applied. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ was a sinless man. Somebody said he could have sinned. No, he couldn't. He was God. God cannot sin and cannot do no wrong. Now, he was tempted at all points like as we are, but yet without sin. And therefore, there is the protection by the blood. This method of deliverance involved a sacrifice of innocent life. I'm going to tell you something. He didn't deserve to die. We're the ones that deserve to die. I want to say this. This method of deliverance was not designed of human invention. It was not a method of deliverance. It was proved to be completely efficient. I'm going to tell you what. It was also for its application, it was required practical trust in God. And I'm going to tell you what. This method of deliverance formed a memorable era in the history of the Jews. And so should it in our life tonight. And you say, preacher, can I get real plain with you a minute before I close this sermon? What kind of preacher would I be if I didn't tell you the truth? There's good people here. But if you've not been washed in the blood, you've never been saved. You say, how do I get washed in the blood? By faith. By grace through faith. Takes me to my third point. Not on the prominence of the blood and the protection of the blood. Oh, I love what the Bible says. Hold your spot. I won't read this right here before I go any further. 1 Peter 1, verse number 18. I tell you, the protection of it. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times just for you. The protection by the blood. Third, the place of the blood. The Bible says in Exodus 12 and 13, he says, you take upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, well, preacher, I want to ask you something. How do I apply that to my house? Well, it says upon the houses where you are. Number one, it had to be accepted. You have to agree that you need it. Now, I don't know if you understand what I've read tonight, but the Bible says there's never been a cry like what happened in the land of it. Let me tell you something. God's serious about His blood. I'm going to tell you why He's serious about His blood. This was a great type of what was fixing to happen at Calvary when He had put His Son. And let me tell you something. He didn't spill His blood. He shed His blood. And I'm going to tell you tonight, in this place of the blood, it was upon the houses. Can I tell you, this is our house? This is our body. And you know, I've often wondered, God, give me light on this right here this evening. Did you know it was the one that was in charge of the house had to apply it on the doorpost? You know what they done? They killed a little lamb. They got the basin of blood. And you know, they took that basin, they took a hyssop, and they took that blood and they dipped it and they put it all over the doorpost of the door. I mean, they didn't just dot it. Buddy, I guarantee you, they marked it. They smeared it. I won't say nothing. I'm not ashamed of the blood tonight. And so they had to agree that they had to have the blood. I'm glad that I agree that I have to have the blood. And then, not only was the blood had to be accepted, but the blood had to be applied. Being on the neighbor's house did not protect you. It had to be applied at your house. Now let me ask you this. If the one in charge of his house was held accountable to put it on his house, who's in charge of your house? You are. You say, well, my daddy is my husband. No. I'm talking about this earthly house. Paul talked about it. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 1 in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 1. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This is the house. I want to ask you something. Have you applied the blood to your house? I'm glad. You say, "Well, preacher, how'd they do it?" Oh, they done it by faith. That's exactly how they done it. God said, "When I pass over you, if I don't see the blood, the death angel's going to smite your house." And I'm going to tell you what. They had, listen to your preacher tonight. They had individual responsibility to put it on their house. You've got individual responsibility to put it on your house. The house, our soul lives in this house. Our God is triune. We're made in the likeness of God. We are a triune person. We have body, soul, and spirit. If your spirit's never been quickened by the Spirit of God, you can't communicate with God. It's dead. And when you die, your spirit and soul is going to leave your body. And look what it says right here. Boy, you're talking about a scripture that make a saved man want to shout. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, verse 2, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon our house which is from heaven, so that being clothed we shall not be found naked." He says, "For we are in this tabernacle, we groan, being burdened, clothed upon. Now he that hath wrought us accepteth the thing of God, hath also given us the earnest of the Spirit." Now look what he says. He says, verse 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." We're confident, I say, and willing rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The place of the blood upon the house is where you are. It was applied by the head of the household. I'm glad. When I got out from under my mom and daddy's household, you know, when that was, when I reached the age of accountability, when I realized that I was a sinner. You know, that's different ages. Megan got saved when she was 6. I've seen people saved high as nearly 80 years old. Now, it don't mean they just become accountable. We don't know when that time comes. That's between them and God. But I can say this. It had to be applied by the leadership of the household. Tonight, I want to ask you something. Only you have control of your household. Your house where your soul lives. It don't matter if you live by the best neighbor in your neighborhood. You're not going to heaven because of the blood at their house. You've got to be saved individually tonight. And we'll notice this, not only the prominence of the blood and the protection by the blood, the place of the blood, but there was the power of the blood. You know what he said in this text and in that of Exodus? He said the power of the blood. He said, "The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you." Now, Egypt had great and mighty armies, but they couldn't hold off what God was going to do in that coming judgment. Isn't it sad that America's preaching a falsified gospel tonight? Saying just any old way, do good, you know, and God's such a God of love, He's going to let you in. He is a God of love. I tell you how much He loved you. He sent His Son to die on a cross. And God's such a God of love, He's give you a chance to hear a gospel message that you may get the blood applied to your house tonight. I've heard people say, "Well, I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll ask you this. What if the death angel comes tonight?" The power of the blood. He said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Power of the blood. And then lastly, there's the permanence of the blood. You know something, you say, "Well, preacher, what if it rained that night?" It was blood. Blood don't wash off. When they put it on the lintels of that doorpost,
I'm going to tell you something else about this permanence of the blood. Watch this, and I got one more thought. I'm going to give an invitation. I want me sharing Brother David sing me an invitation song tonight. But I want you to look in Hebrews 9 and 23, if you would. Let me close out this sermon. Hebrews 9 and 23. I want to be real plain right here. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, 23, it was necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these things, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered in the holy places made with hands with the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth in the holy place every year with blood of others. For them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall be appeared the second time without sin unto salvation. Now I want to show you something in verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now we know he died for all. The Bible said he paid a ransom for all. Why did he say many? I can tell you why, because all won't believe. The only way you go to heaven is by the blood. You know, I was reading behind some of the men. Miss Sherry, if y'all come on, I want you to play. And Brother David, lead us in a song tonight. But I want to say this in closing. I want this thought to drive home to you. I want you to put yourself in this setting in Egypt. You've been under a great taskmaster all of your life. You've seen hard afflictions. You've seen Pharaoh do things. It was hard living. And all of a sudden, Moses got up before all the congregation. He said, "Hey, y'all, God's give us this date." He said, "We've got to kill a lamb. And you take the blood and you put it on the doorpost of your house." And I want to say this for the sake of some of you sitting here. They had to move by faith. And then secondly, when they moved by faith, I believe when the head of that house put it over that doorpost and the lintels of that door, they walked back inside. Don't you think there was some wondering? It's 11:30. 30 minutes, our preacher said, "God is coming through here." He said, "Everybody in the neighborhood, they're fixing to lose their firstborn child in every house." But he said, "Only the houses that the blood's on." Don't you know there's some of them sort of wondering? I sure hope he means what he said. I've done all he said do. Now, you know what they done, what the Lord showed me this evening? They trusted His Word. They couldn't see the blood. They didn't go out. But they did all they know to do. Now, you that are doubting in your mind and in your heart, you're doubting, are you saved? Well, I want to ask you something. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? We can't see the blood on nobody. There's no reason for you to doubt if you've come to Him for salvation and you've trusted Him. Let me tell you, it's permanent. I've done a lot of things I'm not proud of since I've been saved. But don't you let nobody fool you. I've been washed in the blood. You say, "Well, I want to ask you something, preacher. How'd you get washed in the blood?" I got the blood applied by faith. Just like they did. By faith, I done all I know to do with the light I had, Brother Lee. I come to God by faith. That's all you got to do tonight. You don't have to wonder, is that blood still there? And when I come to God, was that enough? Yes, it's enough. He paid it all. There's nothing else we can do. We've got to trust Him. Live by faith. God, I come to you by your Son. You said if I'd come, you wouldn't cast me out. I've come and I'm trusting you to get me to heaven. I know it was some that was wondering. Oh, Lord.
There was the devil accusing them. It don't work. It ain't going to work. You've done too much wrong. Remember all that you did? It struck midnight. They heard screams. They heard cries, Brother David, like they'd never heard in their communities. It got to be 12:05. And the head of the house, there's some no doubts. The blood's still there. Let me tell you, there's coming judgment. Christian friend, you don't have to hang your head in worry or doubt. If you've ever come to God by the blood, it's still there. You don't have to hang your head in shame and worry. Worry yourself, silly. I want to ask you something. The Bible said they overcame him by the word of God. The word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Have you got a testimony? What's a testimony? It's not God's been good to me. God's been good to everybody. Tell me when you got lost. Tell me when you come to Christ by faith. That's a testimony. Oh, some of you may have come different ways and said different things. But I'm telling you what it is. It's a heart. Your heart's had to turn by faith and trust what He said do. Don't you know? I don't believe many of them slept that night. I don't. There's some 1.5 million, maybe more. There was cries going through that land, but it was something different about God's people and the world. They were saved. They were secure. When that flood rained, God told Noah to build an ark, and he walked in and God shut him in. Saved his house. Let me tell you, old time salvation still works, friend, and it's all that will work. It's by the blood tonight. Now, I want to ask you something, sinner friend. I don't want to try to trick you in nothing. I just simply want to know this. Do you want to be saved by the grace of God? Would you trust what God has done for you to get you to heaven? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to come by faith and bow at the cross? Cry, Lord, save me. I want the blood applied to my life. Do you need peace? He'll give you peace. And only God will give you peace. Stand around the house.